How many of you can feel that guy's pain? Man, I've had that happen to me a few times. I'm sure, though, the things that you are dealing with in your life are much more important than the guy in the video. Has there ever been a time in your life when you needed God and you felt He wasn't there? I mean, maybe a time when you just were at a difficult moment in your life, a time when it was so hard to deal with things going on in your life, and you asked God for something, and He seemed totally silent. You know, when I was a kid, I was sickly at times, and my mother would take me to the doctor. Now, my doctor was, as a kid, he was one of those old-fashioned kind of doctors, you know. And I remember that we would go into his office, and we would do all the, you know, he'd check me all out and see what was wrong with me. And then the worst part came, the very worst part, when the doctor said, okay, I've got some medication I want to give you. Now, he gave the nastiest medication you ever tasted. Now, I remember that he would pull out the bottle, and I'd turn to my mom, and I'd say, Mom, please don't make him do that. Please, please. I begged my mom, please don't make him. And she never said a word. And he gave me the medicine, and I took it gagging and choking. But my mom just sat there in silence. Couldn't understand that. Later, I realized that the reason why my mom never said anything was because she knew the doctor was doing something to help me get better. But one thing I do remember, my mother was there through the whole ordeal. You know, that tells me something about God. You realize that silence does not mean absence. That even though you may sense in your life that God is silent, just want to remind you that He's still there. Today we'll begin a brand new series entitled, When God. When God. And today is when God is inattentive. Or at least it seems that way to us. Now, I'm sure all of us have the same thing in common besides being human. We all have the same thing in common when there's been times in our life when we prayed and we've asked God and it was silent. And we wondered, why? I don't understand. Why is it that God is inattentive? Now today on this Easter morning, as we celebrate the resurrection, we celebrate Jesus Christ, there's an Easter story, and the story in Matthew chapter 27 tells us about a time when Jesus prayed to God the Father and He was silent. In the early part of chapter 27 of Matthew's gospel, we learn that Jesus was now arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and taken to Caiaphas's house, where he's tried under an unjust trial, and they accused him falsely, and they found actually no fault in him. But Jesus is sentenced to be crucified. And he leaves Caiaphas's house, and he shamefully walks through the streets of Jerusalem to the outskirts of the city, to a place to be crucified with two thieves. Now this place here most likely is the place where Jesus was crucified. Now where the buses are on the picture is right exactly, almost exactly where he was crucified. This in the first century was much different, obviously, than this picture here in the first century. This was nothing more than a pathway. And people would go by the pathway and they would see Jesus there, or those who were hanging on the cross would be in this place. Now, let's pick up the story because something extraordinary happened during the time that Jesus was hanging on the cross. Now, call your attention to verse 45 and verse 46. And here's what the Bible says. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" As Jesus was hanging on the cross, he'd been hanging about 3 hours. They put him on the cross, the Bible records, at about 9 a.m. on that day. And at noon, something very strange happened. Darkness, the Bible says, covered the whole land. 3 hours of darkness. I mean, it was a foreboding time to think about. In the middle of the day, darkness covered everything. Have you ever been in darkness that is maybe eerie, strange, maybe frightening? Maybe you've been a hunter or perhaps a camper out in the woods and at night, you know, when you go out and it's just pitch black, it's total darkness, or perhaps maybe you are at sleep at one night and maybe a heavy storm comes in and knocks out all the power in your place and you have that darkness. I remember one time when I was a teenager, I was coming home late at night from after work, and remember coming across the hill and dropping down into the valley, and I looked off to the left to see the normal street lights and occasional porch light, when there was nothing. Total darkness. As I drove down in the highway there and looked for the turnoff road, I could barely see it because of the darkness. As I turned off and drove down that familiar road, I remember the strange feeling I had, because where you always had seen light, there was none. It's frightening. The Bible said that Jesus, as he hung there on the cross for 3 hours, he suffered in darkness, in this dark time. Jesus was bearing the sin of all of mankind on the cross that day. Your sin, my sin, the sins of the whole world. And Paul explains it when he says this, for he says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now look at the underlined words and we'll kind of understand this verse a little better. It's "for he," that is God, "made him," who? Jesus. In other words, what God did was God made Jesus to be sin for us. That means that God put all of the sins of all of mankind on Jesus there on the cross. The Bible said, though he never one time sinned. And by the way, I'm so thankful he didn't sin, because if he would have sinned, he would have had to suffer for his own sin. He could not have taken our sin. And Jesus suffered for yours and my sin on the cross. And the Bible said that we might be made the righteousness of God. That means that we might be right with God because of what Jesus did. There he was, bleeding, suffering, hanging, and dying for the sins of the whole world. The story is told of two twin brothers who were indistinguishable. In their late teens, one of the brothers decided that he was going to rob a house, and he did. And as he was running away from the crime scene, someone had seen him running, and they told the police. The police arrived to the home where they both lived and went to arrest the man, and mistakenly they arrested the innocent brother, but he went along with it willingly, and he went to jail, and they went to a trial, and he literally took all of that man, that brother's punishment on himself. Years later, it was revealed that the guilty brother said, "It was me that did it, not him." And so people came to ask the innocent brother, "Why? Why would you do that? Why would you have taken your own brother's guilt and all that he did? Why would you do that? Why would you be willing to suffer for him the punishment of a crime you did not commit?" And he said, "Because I love my brother." And I want to tell you today, God loves you. I mean, when I look at this, and I think of the fact that as we celebrate this time, 2,000 years ago, why is all this? What is this all about? It's because God loves you. He loves you, and he was willing to suffer all the emotional and the physical pain that every one of us could ever have. He suffered it all on him. It was all poured out on Jesus. Have you ever had a pain that all you could do is cry for it to stop? I mean, like maybe a toothache, maybe a broken leg, or maybe an emotional pain that you're dealing with. You suffer so greatly. Well, the Bible said that Jesus was suffering with the weight of all of man's sin on him on the cross. And he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And at that moment, when Jesus needed God the Father the most, there was silence. It seemed as though God had been inattentive to his own son. This silence was certainly because there was a lesson that God wanted to teach us, but we understand that God had to turn his back on his own son because of what he was bearing on the cross. But in this silence, there are three unexpected lessons that we learn. Number one, sometimes God is silent because God is working, doing his greatest work. You know, we learn from this that God does his greatest work many times in silence. That 3-hour window of darkness points to the silence of God and shows us something about what God's work is about. And this was the greatest work ever in human history. Because what God was doing was, through his son, he was providing a pathway of forgiveness, a way for all of us that we can be forgiven, that we can know that we have a home in heaven, that we can be right with God. You see, when God created man, he placed man in the Garden of Eden. And man, Adam, was to bring honor and glory to God. That was his purpose. That was his plan. That's what God wanted. God wanted man to have that harmony between himself and mankind, to bring honor, to give glory to God. That was his purpose. Now think of purposes, and all of us have had things that we do for a purpose. We had a man in our church that was getting elderly, and he was stumbling quite a bit. And so one of the men in our church made him a walking stick so he could stay mobile. And he custom designed it, his hand, his everything, just to the perfect stature and all that. I mean, it was just great. And he could get out, he could walk around. A couple months later, I was visiting him in his home, and I went to, you know, we were talking, we were making our way out the door, and I looked off to the right, and there in his sliding glass door was the walking stick he had stuck to prop the door closed. And I thought about the purpose. It's kind of like, where are we? What happened to the purpose? We've lost the purpose. And some people are looking for purpose in life. And maybe you're here today and that's what you're looking for, is purpose. And here's what God says. God says, I want to restore you back to the purpose in which I created you. The purpose is to have a relationship with God the Father. That God himself has said that I want to restore that relationship. You see, Adam violated God's purpose by eating of the tree. And when he did, this broke that relationship. This broke that harmony that they had, that communication they had. And God says, I have a plan. I want to restore man back to his purpose, to his rightful place, to doing what I want him to do. And God says, I have a son I'm going to send. His name is Jesus. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he came. And here's what the Bible says. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, there's only one qualified person. There's only one, and that's my son, Jesus. He came. He paid the price. That 3 hours of darkness, and yet, of course, we know that he was there 6 hours on the cross, but those 3 hours of darkness we're focusing on because it points to the fact that Jesus was paying the price, and God was doing his greatest work so that all of us could be forgiven. You see, it was during that 3 hours of silence that God was providing a way for man to be restored, and it's only through Jesus. It doesn't say it's through a church or through a philosophy or through a religion. It's through the person of Jesus Christ. There might be times in your life when maybe you feel distant. That you kind of feel away from God. You feel that because maybe you prayed and you've asked God and you're wondering, why is it God not answering? Why is God not doing these things? And why is God not doing those things? Why has God not provided for that? Why has God not met that need? And if we're not careful, we can start thinking, maybe God doesn't really care. But I want to tell you today, God does care. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? You realize that God is for you? He is on your side. He wants what's best for you. He wants what he can do best in your life if you allow him to do that work. You know, it's a funny thing because there are times when not only is God silent, and I get confused about that, you know, and then I say, well, God's not only is he silent, but he seems to be uncooperative. He doesn't kind of get along, you know. Next week that's going to be the second part of the message, when God is uncooperative. But let me remind you of this: he's for you. He loves you. He is there to take care of your need. It is a reminder to us in this silence of God that God is doing his greatest work in the life of Jesus, and he does it in our life. There's a second unexpected lesson we learn from this silence, and that is sometimes God is silent because God is doing his will. God is doing his will. Now, I'll be honest with you, I have found in my own life that my will and God's will don't always match up. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You ever felt that way? Sometimes I want my will to be done. But Jesus, when he was on earth, if you recall in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed, the night that he was betrayed, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And sometimes I struggle with that because naturally I want my will and rather than God's will. You know, it's really interesting that when circumstances change, for the better, for the worse, my confidence in God can be tested. For example, someone might come to me and say, man, I'm in a difficult time, Pastor. You know, I just want you to know, will you just pray for me? And it's easy for me to pray. My confidence in God is not tested at that point. I'm praying for a person. But let that be me. Let that problem come my way. Let that struggle come my way. And you know what? Now my confidence is tested. All of a sudden, I start wondering. It seems like that's human nature. That's the way it is. But Jesus never doubted God's will in his life. He never doubted what God was doing by putting him on the cross. But I'll be honest with you, I've had times when I've had doubts. I remember my freshman year when I went to Bible college. Man, I had just been a Christian a few years, and God had worked in my heart and wanted me to go into the ministry. And so I go off to Bible college, and the very first time I am away from my family and friends and those that I'm familiar with, and I go off to Bible college, and man, it was tough. I mean, just the fact of being away and just the fact of all the pressures. I mean, you ever had a time when your life, well, it seems like for your life, maybe your life is so turned upside down, you don't know which way's up? That's where I was. I remember I went there, and my parents had saved money to send me to college. My friends were praying for me. My church back home was sending me letters and trying to encourage me to stay in it. And man, it was tough. At the end of the first 9 weeks, I had grades that I don't want you to know what they are. I was so embarrassed. I didn't know how to study. I had no idea. Man, I was in high school. We didn't bring books home. No one needed to study. If you just listen, you can make an A. If you barely listen, you make a B. If you half listen, you can probably make a C. So I remember looking at that grade card. I had to write papers. I'd never written a paper before. I had to pass tests. I never even took tests. Not like those tests. I was doubting. I remember crying out to God and asking God, God, please help me. And it's almost like God was inattentive. But God was doing his will in my life. And I'm going to tell you this morning that wherever you are in your life, keep in mind that God might be just doing his will in your life. When Jesus was on earth, he was in constant communication with the Father. We read about the time when Jesus would be praying through the night, where he'd be off alone praying with God, where he had that relationship with God, that constant communication that he had. But now, these 3 hours on the cross, silence. But God was doing his will in Jesus' life. And that will includes you and me. That will is that as Jesus suffered on the cross in our behalf, he suffered so that we can be forgiven. By the way, if you've come here today and you're not yet a Christian, I want you to know that you can be forgiven. I mean, that's God's plan. That's what God wants. God wants to restore us back to our purpose and the place where God would have us. He wants us to be in that relationship with God once again that we had. That means that Jesus is our mediator. He's our personal savior between us and God. Now, some people think that to be a Christian, it means just to go to church or, you know, believe God, or maybe read the Bible occasionally. But actually, being a Christian means it's a personal choice. It means that I choose, that I realize that I'm a sinner, and that this relationship between us and God is broken, and that I want to reach out and I want to ask God to forgive me and ask Jesus to be my Savior because he's my mediator, my pathway to restoration back with God. If you've not done that today, today would be a great time. I can't think of a better day than today. The Bible says now is accepted time. What a blessing it is to know that we can be forgiven. Amen and amen. If you're a Christian today, God's silence may be a time for God to work his will out in your life. We read in the same chapter here in Matthew 27, we read in verse 50, the Bible said, and when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. You know what? Jesus fully trusted God's will working in his life. And maybe that's where you are. You know, I learned that even in the silence, God is never absent. Even the moments when God seems inattentive, He's never inactive. God is doing His best work for us. And God is doing His will. But there's a third unexpected lesson I want you to see. Sometimes God's silent because God wants to show us who He is. One of my favorite verses is this one, "Be still and know that I am God." How many of you understand that being still in this world is very difficult, isn't it? I mean, even if you try to be still, it's like, you know, I don't know, in some ways we have these smartphones. They're smarter than we are, you know that. But the bad part about smartphones, it's hard to be still with those things. It's always an alert of something, an email, a text, something. But God says in the stillness, He reveals Himself, who He is. Be still and know that I am God. Oswald Chambers said this, "God's silence is a sign He is bringing you into an even more wonderful understanding of Himself." Now the 3 hours are concluded. And Jesus now is going to bow His head as He says, "It is finished. It's over." Oh no, it's not over. Jesus may have died, but it's not over. Because there is power in Jesus. There's power in God. And something better is about to take place. And Jesus was going to show us His power. And the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ, though He died, He rose again the third day. Amen and amen. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. And you are yet in your sins," Paul says. But because of the resurrection, that which is better, that which is God's promise, that Jesus rises from the dead, and indeed He rose that third day. Someone had said, "Well, how do you know it's a fact?" There were over 500 witnesses to the truth that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead after He was buried. But that's just a part of the proof. Let me give you another proof. Here is the empty tomb. The archaeologists tell us this has to be the tomb. There's no doubt about it that this tomb is empty because I've been there. And by the way, because that tomb is empty, I'm going to tell you this. We know the power of God. We know that God is not, we don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Savior. He is alive. So that silence on the cross 2,000 years ago, that silence speaks so loudly today for the entire world, to all generations, that Jesus loves us and that Jesus came to die on the cross for us and that Jesus was buried and that He rose again the third day and He's offering to every one of us restoration back into our original purpose of having fellowship and having communion with the God of heaven. That's what this means. You see, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can know Him today. I can't think of a better day than today. And if you do know Him, God may be silent because He is having some time that He's working in your life to show you who He is. He might be just showing you how big He is right where you are. By the way, thank God He's a risen Savior. And thank God, even in His silence, He's very much alive, working, doing His will. Let's pray.